Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. In this podcast, we take a reading from Scripture each day. We look at the background material to that passage and also application for us. Once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Our reading today comes from Psalm chapter 90. This psalm is interesting because it's written by Moses. It makes it the oldest part of the book of Psalms. And on top of that, think of it this way, it may be one of the oldest poems written in all of the world that we have recorded right here in front of us. So as we meditate on this psalm today, as we read through it together, keep in mind that this would be Moses probably in the wilderness wandering when he wrote this. We don't know for sure, but that's one theory. And so the setting and the metaphors, the pictures that Moses paints for us in this poetic passage would be taken from his setting, what's around him. So as you look at the division of this psalm as we read through it, you're going to notice it breaks into two basic parts. The first 11 verses are a meditation. Moses is going to meditate on just the brevity of life. He's going to meditate on our sin and what it is before God and what it means in light of that brevity of our life. And also, at the end, we're going to see this petitioner prayer that God somehow intervene in our really pathetic situation when you consider how short our lifespan really is. For God to bring His glory, His weight into our life. It's interesting when you read about God's glory in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word there is kavod. And kavod could be translated as weightiness. God, bring your weightiness into our life. Give our life substance. Give it meaning. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But let's read through the psalm. This is Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away like a flood. You are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and it withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquity before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may be rejoiced and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So Moses draws from different metaphors. Think of a transient wisp of fog, kind of like James talks about in chapter 4, this vapor that appears and vanishes away, that our life is like that. Death comes upon us like a flood. Life is like sleeping, blinking, it's gone. We're like grass that withers in the hot sun and the next day comes back again. Our life is like a dream. Who can lay hold to a dream? Who can lay both hands on a dream? It's as if our tale has already been told multiple times. So our lives are like a mist. They're a wisp of fog. And you could live to be 70, or if you're blessed, live to be 80, according to Moses. 80 years old would be considered a long life. But if you think about it, according to this psalm, whether you're 80 years old or 10 years old, your yesterdays stack up the same height. Negligible when you look at it from God's perspective. To God, 1,000 years is just something that passes by quickly. So this idea of this transient life, that when you look at it from the big picture, and I realize this as I get older, it seems like 70 or 80 years is just not long enough. If you're fortunate to live 90 years or even 100 years, this life is so short and our bodies start to break down and get old and we can't do the things we once did and we come to grips with our own mortality. It's interesting when you look at stories of people that have converted to Christianity. The Venerable Bede of England long ago wrote a story of Edwin of Northumbria. Edwin was a pagan and he was considering Christianity. He was listening to a preacher named Paulinus. And so Paulinus is preaching the gospel to Edwin, and he has a pagan friend. And his pagan friend tells him, you need to consider Christianity. You need to consider what this guy is teaching. And his pagan friend tells Edwin, here's why. He said, life is like a swallow in a mead hall. Remember, a mead hall was where they would retire to drink heavily and tell the great tales in some of these middle-age kingdoms. And so this friend says, life is like this swallow. There's fire on the hearth in the mead hall, and there's a tempest and a black storm outside the mead hall. The swallow flies in one door and is briefly warmed in the hall, and then flutters out the other door. So Edwin's pagan friend says, that's all paganism has to present to you, my friend. That's all we can say about life. And if these Christians can give you more meaning, if these Christians can make more sense of this life and give you more certainty, then you need to become a Christian. And with that, Edwin became a Christian because of the preaching of Paulinus. And this psalm really lays out that idea of the transient nature of this life, the shortness of this life. And we all know it's true. That's one thing that's empirically evident to us. We don't have to be persuaded of the shortness of life. And also, as G.K. Chesterton said, the one thing that's most empirically verifiable about the Christian faith is the idea of sin. We all know that we have sin in our lives, and our sin is always before the Lord. Our sin brings God's wrath. There's nothing hidden from God's sight. There's no secret sin that we get to hide from God. God knows it all. So what this psalm teaches us is we need to number our days. Now, this idea of numbering our days is a wise thing to do, to consider the weightiness of our days, not just the sheer number of our days, but the content of our days. You can think of your days as being as packing peanuts that will blow away if you go outside, or as nuggets of gold. And you've got some people that have lived shorter lives, that their years are more weighty. They're like nuggets of gold because they were packed full of good works and serving God. Or we can have a life that serves ourselves, that really is of no consequence at all, that people will look at and not give thanks for your life because it was all about yourself. Or we can serve God and have a weightiness to our life. And numbering our days, I would say, would be understanding what sin is and what sin does. Remember, nothing is hidden from God and His presence. Our sin is not hidden from Him. And what does sin do to us? Sin warps us and turns us into something that really doesn't matter, something of no consequence. It defaces and deforms us. It mars the image of God. And this brevity of life, sin makes this even more serious, that we're on a collision course with our Creator, that we will face Him one day, and that sin is an issue that must be dealt with. So when we think about this idea of beautifying our life, you've got Moses praying that God's favor would come upon and establish our works. You know, our good works by themselves are like rags. And so Moses is claiming, listen, Lord, come in and establish your favor on my works. And here's the great thing as Christians to consider. God became flesh. Jesus of Nazareth came to redeem us. He died for our sins. He was resurrected, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And because of the resurrection, when you look at 1 Corinthians 15, nothing that we do in Christ is in vain. When you're redeemed in Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 2:10, you become God's workmanship, His poetry. And so what was once a banal life that really didn't have meaning, that was all about ourselves, has been transformed into a life living for God in Christ. And now those, what would we would consider to be insignificant works in this world, whether it's feeding the hungry or teaching a Bible class to young children, encouraging a fellow brother, helping someone in any way, become something beautiful, become something weighty. And those years are not like packing peanuts. They become golden nuggets filled with God's glory because of what Jesus did for us. So we can learn something from this psalm. We can learn that our days are numbered. We know that already, don't we? But we are to number our days. That's a wise thing, to make them weighty days filled with the glory of God and to transform us. And we know, Moses didn't know this, but we know our sin problem is taken care in Jesus Christ. He redeeds us and saves us first from our sins. So let's give him glory for that today. Let's be thankful for our salvation, that our sins have been cleansed. Let's live for him. Let's give him our lives and let's work the good works that Jesus has prepared beforehand that we should do in him. So I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you go out in the power of Jesus Christ and work those good works for the good of the kingdom. God bless. Hope to see you back tomorrow.